Thank you, Charles. Glad you stayed in here today since it's so nice outside. You know, it's kind of hard to be stuck inside in a conference when we're in Hawaii for, you know. But today I'd like to talk. I'm Jared Hoyle, Extension Turfgrass Specialist at Kansas State University. Today I want to talk a little bit about some research that we have conducted in Manhattan, Kansas. This all actually came from an extension question that I'd had about glyphosate application timings. And it kind of led into multiple projects, and this was kind of the second one that we got into. And I'll kind of go through the first one through the introduction. Tall fescue, Sorundinus arundinaceae, Lolium arundinaceum, Festuca arundinaceus, whatever they want to call it this week. And other C3 grasses, ruffs, in Kansas typically require a little bit more inputs than the warm season grasses. We have very cold winters. Fescue does really well in it. The warm season grasses don't. But during the summertime, I typically say that we just pray to keep the cool season grasses alive. And that's mainly because of the unwanted or unexpected drought. This is a drought monitor from November of 2015. I didn't put up the current drought monitor because that map would be completely white, except for a couple places right now for 2017. The point taken here is it's not that we are always in drought, but drought is a relative term, and so what can we do to stay in front of that curveball so when we do have times or periods of drought, we're able to maintain a healthy turfgrass system and have those benefits of a turfgrass system. And one of those ways of doing it is not doing research on the turfgrass and the amount of water that it takes itself, but what kind of alternative species that we can use. One of those in the state of Kansas that is well utilized is buffalo grass. It is the only native turf grass species that we see in the state of Kansas. It is a low maintenance or low input. I don't say it's a no input, but it is a low input. A little bit goes a long way. If you like mowing, if you like watering, if you like fertilizer, this is not the type of grass for you. But you still get the benefits of having a turf grass with buffalo grass. The biggest thing with buffalo grass that we see, it is drought tolerant. It has deep root systems, and it's able to endure and go dormant in the summertime, but then recover quickly from a little bit of rain that Mother Nature may supply. It is used on home lawns, parks, cemeteries, roadsides, and golf courses. It can be mowed anywhere from a half an inch, we have a buffalo grass fairway in Manhattan, Kansas, to a no-mow area where you may not supply any fertilizer whatsoever. For example, on the golf course, you may supply anywhere from 1 to 2, 3 pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet per year. So it's a well-adapted turf grass, and we want to see that this is able to be utilized in more situations in the state of Kansas, so when we do have these drought conditions, we're able to conserve water and still maintain a healthy playable surface or a beautiful home lawn. But there are some implications when it comes to utilizing buffalo grass. One of them, the conversion of buffalo grass is costly and slow. It is costly because the price of buffalo grass seed is very high. I actually did a quick Google search before coming in here, and Walmart, I can't remember where it was at, was selling buffalo grass for $40 a pound. So it's a very high and costly seed. I believe this is because of the amount of time and manpower it takes to collect this seed. The male flower is above the canopy on buffalo grass. The female flower is within the canopy. So harvesting the seed, you have a very low success rate, and now you have a dirty seed that you have to take an extra step within the cleaning process to then harvest that seed. So therefore, the price is very high. It's also very slow for conversion of buffalo grass. It doesn't germinate quite as fast as other cool season grasses. A lot of the recommendations have said to soak buffalo grass in water for 3 24-hour periods, and then go out, a.k.a. pre-germinate it, and then go out and spread it. As we all know, there's always something going on, whether our children get hurt, we have a hospital appointment, or the Mother Nature doesn't work for us. And so if we pre-germinate these seeds and we're establishing, saying we're going to do this on Saturday and we can't do it, then now we have wasted a lot of time and money. So if you do not pre-germinate these seeds, it does take maybe 14 to 20 days before you actually start to see some germination within buffalo grass. I call it a sleep, creep, and leap. And that sleep phase is probably the hardest phase to go through whenever establishing it. So end users need to ensure this efficient and effective establishment. They're spending a lot of time and they're spending a lot of money if they're wanting to put this drought-tolerant species in. And so also, especially when it comes to like golf courses, this downtime of green cover loss when you're transitioning, say, for tall fescue, could be a revenue drop. If you're converting fairways from tall fescue or roughs from tall fescue to buffalo grass in a golf course situation, this is time where the golf course is not going to be able to be in play. Therefore, they're not going to be able to make revenue coming in. So minimizing that time from going from tall fescue to buffalo grass is crucial. So we kind of looked at the research and we saw that there's a lot of actually has been done when it comes to looking at the establishment of buffalo grass. As you can imagine, if you use a non-selective herbicide prior to application or to seeding of buffalo grass, you're going to reduce that plant competition and you're going to increase success. In this study, we saw that even scalping prior to was a valued method into establishing buffalo grass successfully with the use of a non-selective herbicide. So we actually took that to the next level, and we wanted to look at different applications, slit seeding, aerification, and verticutting with and without scalping or mowing to maybe have to do one less thing with establishing this. And what we found, just to kind of set this up, is it didn't matter if you sprayed a non-selective herbicide like glyphosate prior to establishing. You could leave the residue on the surface. You did not have to scalp that residue off, and you would still get successful buffalo grass cover. This is 8 weeks after. You can see the mowing height all the way from 1 inch to 2.5, and across whatever cultural practice you use, there was no difference in buffalo grass cover. We did see that slit seeding was the most effective, but there was no statistical differences when it comes to the mowing heights. So that is one less thing that we could do. But currently, there's limited data for best management practices for buffalo conversion from tall fescue using post-seeding glyphosate applications. We do know that buffalo grass is slow to establish, slow to germinate, and on the glyphosate label, it does say just do not apply to plants that are actively growing if you do not want injury. So if the plant is not actively growing or the seed is not actively respiring and soaking in that herbicide, then maybe we could get away with post-seeding applications, which might help increase weed control as well as decrease the window of green cover loss. As we know, glyphosate is a slower-acting herbicide that might take 2 to 3 weeks to take out a tall fescue, so to say. So our research objective was to determine the optimal before and after seeding glyphosate application timings for conversion of tall fescue to buffalo grass. We did this in 2015, 2016 on June 8th. We will only be talking about the 2015 data because we have no idea what happened to the 2016 trial. It's as doing research, if it can go wrong, it will go wrong, and so we're going to have to repeat this study again. It was conducted at Rocky Ford Turfgrass Research Center in Manhattan, Kansas. The soil was a Chase silty clay loam. We did only apply irrigation Monday, Wednesday, Friday for a total of 2.5 centimeters per week. We wanted to mimic what a low input system would be during establishment. It was a 6.35 centimeter mowing height. This was the tall fescue prior to the trial initiation. And at a trial initiation or seeding, we applied 48.8 kilograms of P2O5. And then applied 48.8 kilograms of nitrogen as well. So our design was a randomized complete block design, 5x5 factorial, with 4 replications. Our main effects were before seeding and after seeding. Before seeding timings were 4, 3, 2, 1 weeks before seeding and a non-treated, which was not sprayed at all with glyphosate. And our days after seeding glyphosate applications were 0, 2, 4, and 7, and also a non-treated. Glyphosate was applied at 2.2 kilograms of active ingredient per hectare with your standard backpack CO2 spray boom. Nozzle is listed there, and we delivered, this was in a spray volume of 407.5 liters per hectare at 241 kPa. The variety that was seeded was Sharps Improved 2 Buffalo Grass. This was done on July 7th. As we found out in the previous research, the successful establishment was done by slit seeding, so we used that same methodology. We did two half rates and two perpendicular directions with a total of 195 kilograms per hectare. And we also did not pre-soak the seed. We wanted to mimic what a low input system would be as well, since we weren't trying to pre-germinate the seed and you could get away maybe with a later glyphosate timings. Data collection, we did a lot of data collection, but today I really want to focus on percent visual buffalo grass cover. And so that kind of leads us into the results. Here's the analysis of variance for buffalo grass visual cover is influenced by our glyphosate application timings. WBS is weeks before seeding factor. The DAS is the days after seeding timings. As you can see here, we did not have an interaction between those two across 49 to 70 days after initiation. But since we've already known that weeks before seeding, applying glyphosate prior to seeding buffalo grass will increase buffalo grass establishment, we're not even going to talk about it today. We want to talk about the days after seeding and what future type analysis we can do on this data. So, to kind of set this up, on the left-hand side, you have days after seeding, the treatments. These are pooled all over the entire weeks before seeding. You have 0, 2, 4, and 7. You have the rating dates 42 through 70 days after initiation. And then the numbers within the columns, the letters within the columns are the mean separation according to Fisher's protected LSD. As you can see here, as days increased, buffalo grass establishment increased all the way from day 0 to 70. But what I'd really like to point out here is where we see 0, 2, and 4 days after seeding, where we have no statistical differences in buffalo grass cover. But there is a reduction in buffalo grass cover when you apply a 7-day after seeding glyphosate timing. So we're getting away with up to 4 days after seeding spraying glyphosate and not reducing the buffalo grass cover up to 70 days after. Here's some of the visual pictures with this. 0 days on the top left, 2 on the top right, 4 and 7. These pictures were done from the 2 week before seeding and then the days after seeding photos. You can see that 0, 2, and 4 roughly had the 75% cover. And it's hard to see here, but this was at about 65% buffalo grass cover, even though it was sprayed with glyphosate 7 days after seeding. So to kind of sum it all up, you know, the main effect of weeks before seeding, days after seeding was significant, but we did not see an interaction. Unsuccessful buffalo grass establishment was observed when no glyphosate application was applied, which was something that we expected. And glyphosate applications at 7 resulted in decreased buffalo grass establishment. But what does this all mean? So as an extension specialist, when I talk to end users, I can say you could spray glyphosate up to 4 days. After 4 days, it's unknown. Is it the 5 days, the 6 day, or 7 day that really reduces that establishment? Now, you also have to tell the practitioner themselves in ideal times. If you're having adequate rainfall, the right soil temperatures for germination, that days is going to be actually decreased because your germination will occur faster. So turf grass managers should avoid glyphosate after that 4 day and even shorter depending upon the environmental conditions at the time. So safe applications of glyphosate up to 4 days as well as the recommended before seeding date is what we see. And this is huge because it aids in weed control in buffalo grass. The days after seeding is a lot of times is when the customer complains that the crabgrass and the summer annuals are coming in. So applying a glyphosate at that time will be able to take those weeds out but minimize the damage to the establishment rate of buffalo grass. But future research, we want to repeat this trial again, and this is another thing we want to do is analyze this data a little bit different. You see here with this graph, this is completely made up. There's nothing with this, but this is just the idea of trying to figure out what is the best combination before and after to maximize that window or minimize that window of green cover loss. So, for example, the red line would be tall fescue, and if it was sprayed 2 weeks after seeding, or negative 2 weeks after seeding, which would be before seeding, and then buffalo grass is the dotted green line, we can then determine an area above the curve, like it's a lot of done in pathology, so that gives you the whole time frame. But as I'm thinking, driving down the road, a lot of times as an extension specialist, I get these crazy ideas, but that might not tell the whole entire story. So another analysis we want to do is kind of look at the 90 to 90. How many days did it take to go from 90% tall fescue to 90% buffalo grass? Because if you get an area above the curve, you can have sharp dips, therefore your area is larger, but your time frame could also be smaller. For example, that would be a smaller area under the curve, but you would have a shorter days from 90 to 90. So this is what we want to do, analyze this data a little bit different after repeating the study as well. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge K-State Research and Extension, our department, the Heart of America Superintendents Association, and the Foundation for supporting this research. And with that, I will take any questions if we have any time.
No time for questions. We'll thank our speaker.
Thank you.